You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 17th of March, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got one subject to talk about today, but it is very, very broad, and it actually touches on a lot of other subjects and affects a lot of things, really, particularly to do with nationalism, particularly to do with European identity, and particularly to do with European religious identity. And this has been brought up by CNN anchor Don Lemon, who is notoriously anti-white, of course. He said on Monday on ABC's The View that to begin a process of addressing racism in America, it was time to present the true identity of Jesus, which he said was a black or brown person. Now, where on earth would he get the idea from that Jesus was black or brown? All the images that we have of Jesus for the last 2,000 years show him as a white person. The whitest of white people, in actual fact. We see blonde depictions of Jesus, blue-eyed depictions of Jesus. Throughout the churches of Europe, you find statues and sculptures of Jesus and his disciples, and they are all European. You won't find one of them depicting Jesus or his kinsmen as non-white. You won't find any depictions of Jesus looking Jewish in any way. And yet we've gone from this idea in the last century, we've gone from the idea that Jesus was European to thinking Jesus was Jewish to now thinking that Jesus was a black or brown person. Now, I can only guess the logic here is that brown people live in Palestine now, which used to be called Judea, which is now called Israel. So because brown people live there now, this means that brown people always lived there, does it? Well, that just doesn't follow, does it? Are they going to say that the Greeks and the Romans, they were also brown, were they? The Greeks and the Romans were in Judea. We had Alexander the Great, the Alexandrian period in Judea, and we had the Roman period where Judea was a Roman protectorate. We also had Alexandria in Egypt, which also had a lot of white people in it. Do they think that Antony and Cleopatra, do they think that they were black or brown now? I mean, this is a symptom of the rewriting of history, which we see going on in Hollywood and on the television programs, and the blackwashing of history, where they insert black people into parts of European history when there were no black or brown people in Northern Europe. They seem to particularly like changing the race of our royals from history. We've had quite a few royals that have been portrayed by black people now, which is completely incongruous. It's a complete anachronism. Britain was 99.9% white up until 70 years ago. And the whole point of royalty was that they were blue-blooded. They only ever married their own. They had a eugenic policy, basically, where they only married their own kind throughout Europe. And this is why we had German kings in Britain. We had British queens in Russia. And this is because they all essentially came from the same family. And it was hoped that it would prevent war if we had these interlocking royal families that would marry others from other countries, other royals from other countries. So we can see from that that it was your pedigree was important, particularly for the royals. They would like to be able to show their family tree going all the way back. I mean, you can look at Alfred the Great. He has a family tree that goes all the way back to Shem. I think it goes all the way back to Noah in his family tree and back to Adam. How believable that is, I wouldn't like to say, but it does show the importance of the family tree and the pedigree. And we can go from that to what it says in the Gospels. And the Gospels, I forget which one it is, I think it's two of them or three of them, they begin with Jesus's pedigree. They tell you exactly who his ancestors were. They tell you exactly who Mary's ancestors were. And the point of doing that was to show that he had a non-mixed pedigree. The whole point of putting that family tree in there was to show that Jesus was descended from the house of David through Israelites, through an Israelite heritage, nobody else. Because at the time, there was a serious problem. Judea was actually split between two camps. There was the multicultural camp that supported the bringing in of foreign races and circumcising them and making them into Jews. And there was another camp that saw that as an absolute abomination. It was against all the laws of the scriptures. And they mocked and they ridiculed those Jews who were of mixed race, particularly like Herod. And we can read all about this in Flavius Josephus's histories. And Herod was known as being born of an ignoble race because he was of mixed race. And there were people that were willing to die rather than accept these, what were termed proselytes of the gate or proselytes of justice, rather than to accept them as equals and as Judeans. There was a real problem with this, and it's began 250 years before Christ, actually. And I guess maybe we could start before that. The Israelites, the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes of Israel and the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin were dispersed from their lands. They disobeyed God, they became pagan, they followed pagan religions, and as a result of that, their lands were invaded by the Babylonians and by the Assyrians, and they were removed from their lands. This was round about 700 BC. Round about 500 BC, a tiny proportion of the tribe of Judah actually came back to Judea. It was about 10% of the tribe of Judah, so it was about 1% of the Israelites in all, the ones that actually stayed in the Near East. The rest of them obviously spread out, colonizing around the rest of the world. And don't forget, these were white people. They were descended from Noah and Noah's three sons, and his three sons were obviously all white. The church teaches us that Japhet was white. Well, if Japhet was white, that meant that Shem was white and Ham was white as well. Their descendants may well have darkened over time as they interbred with the non-white races, which is what we know happened in Egypt and Assyria and Persia. But essentially, they started out white. And once they became mixed race, they could no longer claim to be the sons of Shem or the sons of Japhet, because they were mixed race. So they were part of a different tribe then. So the Israelites started out white. They were removed from their land. They were taken to the north of Assyria, and they were taken to Babylon. And when King Darius came in, it was either Darius or Cyrus or Chris, however you want to pronounce it. I think it was Chris. Or Cyrus. When Cyrus came in, he was a part of the same family that the Israelites were descended from. So he said to the tribe of Judah, you can go back to your country now if you wish, and I will pay for you to rebuild your temple, because you are the priests of the Creator God. Now, Kairos didn't follow the Creator God. All the other white nations, they followed their own gods, but the Israelites followed the one Creator God. And the other nations did actually used to pay for the Israelites to worship in their temple. That is also recorded in Flavius Josephus and in other histories at the time of Solomon, because we knew that this was a priestly race, basically. So Kairos, or Chris, however you like to pronounce it, he said that the tribe of Judah could go back to their land. 10% of the tribe of Judah went back, which is just 1% of all the Israelites. When they went back to their land, it was discovered by the high priest that a large portion of them had been interbreeding with the other races. And it says in the Old Testament that that is absolutely forbidden. They're not allowed to exchange their wives with the daughters or the sons of a strange god, is how they put it. You shall not offer your sons or your daughters to the sons and daughters of a strange god, or you shall not go after strange flesh. And the high priest realizes that a large portion of these Israelites have interbred with these other races, and he goes absolutely spare. He tears all his hair out. He goes absolutely wild. You can read about this in the books of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah. And he says to them, right, what you've got to do, you've just got to put away these women. You have to divorce these women. You have to leave your offspring. The offspring have to go with the strange women. And then you have to do penance for what you have done. And they tried to get back to following the proper Hebrew religion. But that didn't last for very long. That lasted for about 200 years. And about 200 years before Christ, they had a battle with the Edomites. And the Edomites were basically Canaanites. The Edomites were descended from a chap called Esau, Edom, who was the twin of Jacob Israel. Jacob Israel married other relatives of his family. He married cousins of his, so that his descendants were wholly Israelite, whereas Esau, Edom, married the daughters of a Canaanite chief. So his sons and daughters, they were Canaanites. And it was because of this that their mother said that if Jacob Israel does the same and marries a daughter of a strange god, my life will not be worth living. So she would rather have committed suicide than actually have Jacob Israel marry these Canaanite women. And it's because of this, because Esau Edom married these Canaanite women, that she told Jacob Israel to put fur on his hands and fur on his chin, and to pretend to be Esau Edom so that he could get the blessing that was supposed to go to Esau Edom. Because she knew that if that blessing went to the mixed race descendants of Esau Edom, the world would have been absolutely ruined, because this was God's blessing. So this is the real reason why Jacob Israel cheated to get that blessing. It's because his mother did not want the blessing to go to the mixed race offspring of Esau Edom. So fast forward 500 years and you get the descendants of Esau Edom, who are Canaanites, and the Canaanites are the cursed tribe of the Old Testament. They're the tribe that God tells the Israelites they're supposed to exterminate, and then the Israelites don't exterminate them. They actually turn some of them into slaves and servants. So God says, right, well, that time period for you to exterminate them is now over. Now these people are going to be thorns in your side and pricks in your eyes, and you're going to have to learn the art of war to fight against them, and you have a continual struggle against this people. Well, the tribe of Judah then, in the land of Judea, was having these battles with the Edomites, these Canaanites who lived in the country next door to them. And they had actually moved into the country of Judea while the Judahites had actually been in Babylon, and they had been expelled from the country, along with another group called the Sepharvaim, which is probably where you get the word Sephardic from. And there was another Arab-type race there as well. They were all expelled when the Judahites moved back into Judea. But 200 years after that, they were having these battles with the Edomites, and the Edomites lost the battle. And John Hyrcanus, who was the leader of the Judahite army at the time, instead of saying, "You will now give over your country to me," or instead of exterminating them, or instead of enslaving them, he said, "You can either fall on your swords now, or you can get circumcised and you can be the same as us and you can follow our religion." And this goes completely against everything that it says in the Old Testament. It says that the blessings of God and the promises, they only travel down through the loins of Jacob Israel, not through anybody else. So by accepting these Edomites into the religion, they were basically turning the religion on its head. And this really did split the Judahites apart, and one group split off that were called the Essenes, and the Essenes followed the Old Testament to the T. They followed the racial instructions of the Old Testament, and they separated themselves from the rest of the tribe of Judah. They were essentially the ethno-nationalists of their day. Once these Edomites had also become part of the tribe of Judah, they all began to be called Jews together, and the word Jew meant a citizen of Judea, and it could have meant that they were a descendant of Judah, they were a purebred descendant of Judah, or it could mean that they were of mixed race, they were of mixed Judahite and Edomite race. The word Jew itself was not an ethnic determination, it just meant a citizen of Judea. Well, from that point on, these Jews began accepting anybody that wanted to get circumcised and follow this religion. And they had a term for them. They called them proselytes of the gate, and they called them the proselytes of justice. And there were lots of people that joined them. People from countries all around would flock there, and they would join this Jewish religion, which by that time had really become warped from what it was originally. If you think originally it was a race-based religion, and now it is a multicultural religion. And today's Jews will tell you that their teachings of the Talmud go back to Babylon. So they go back to this time, and they go back to some of the teachings that this remnant of the tribe of Judah actually brought back with them from Babylon, which means that they didn't come from the Old Testament. They're not scriptural teachings. And these became mixed with the teachings of the Edomites and the Canaanites. And this all led to the Talmud, basically. Then we have 200 years where we don't have any history that's really talked about in the Apocrypha, because we can read about John Hyrcanus in the book of the Maccabees. We can read about what happened to the tribes of Israel and how they went through the north of the Euphrates, and they essentially went into Europe at about 500 BC. We can read about that in the book of Esdras. But we can read in the histories of Flavius Josephus that in that 200 years, these Edomites that had become Judean citizens, that had become Jews, they basically infiltrated the aristocracy and they took over the aristocracy. And by the time we get to the time of Jesus, we have this family of Herods, and this family of Herods, they were mixed race, they were Edomite Judahites. They had actually managed to get so in there with the Romans that they had managed to put one of these Herods on the throne, and we had a King Herod. And what this King Herod did, he killed the high priest, the actual Judahite high priest. He killed the high priest, and he put one of his Canaanite cronies in the place of the high priest. He replaced all of the important posts in the administration. He replaced all of the people that were actually Judahites. He replaced with these Edomite, Canaanite, mixed race types, and the actual Judahites, the actual proper genuine Hebrews, became something of second-class citizens, basically. And this Herod, he then decided he was going to redo the temple. He was going to rebuild the temple. And don't forget, he's not a Hebrew. He's of partial heritage with this cursed tribe, which were called the Canaanites. So he basically desecrated this second temple. He basically turned it into a pagan temple, and he had essentially turned the high priest into a pagan high priest rather than a Judahite or Hebrew high priest. So, of course, by the time you get to Jesus, Jesus is not very happy with this temple, is he? And God destroyed the temple in 70 AD. And this is the reason why the temple was destroyed, because it was no longer a temple to Yahweh. And Yahweh is the name for the Christian God. Don't think that that is the name that the Jews call their God. Jews are not allowed to say the word Yahweh. They're not allowed to write the word Yahweh. It's rather like an illegitimate son is not allowed to use the name of his father. It's unlawful for an illegitimate son to use the name of his father. And Jews are not allowed to use the word Yahweh. And Jews today, I'm talking about these modern Jews today, they also look to Herod as Herod the Great. They think he was this wonderful king because he was their king. He was their mixed-race Edomite king. And the Jewish Encyclopedia, when you look up the word Edom, when you look up the word Edomites, it says Edom is in modern Jewry. Because from that point on, in around 200 BC, Edom ceased to exist. Edom basically became Jewry. So when we talk about the Jews from that point on, we are talking about a mixed group of people. We're not talking about a group of people that are exclusively descended from Jacob Israel. We're talking about a mixed race group of people that is headed by this Herod the baby killer. And I call him Herod the baby killer because of the massacre of the innocents. When he heard that Jesus had been born, this pure-blooded son of Jacob Israel, who was the legitimate heir to the house of David, obviously he wanted to get rid of him because he was the mixed-race king that the Romans had put on the throne. So he tried to kill Jesus by massacring all these innocent babies, and he did lots of other really wicked things. I mean, he really upset the genuine Judahite peoples, and he actually came to a really, really gruesome end. Worms just burst out of his body everywhere. I mean, he had a really putrefaction and an absolute stench about him, and eventually all these worms burst out of him, and he just collapsed. He collapsed down dead. I mean, it was really a fitting end for this Herod. The followers of Jesus themselves, they were all of the tribe of Benjamin. And again, as I pointed out earlier, to be of the tribe of Benjamin meant that you had to be white. You could not be mixed race. You could not be one of these Jewish converts. You had to be exclusively from the tribe of Benjamin. So Jesus's disciples were all of the tribe of Benjamin. There was one disciple that was either of the tribe of Judah or was a Jew, and that was Judas Iscariot. And that's what the word Judas Iscariot means, Judaeus. It means the Jew. So it meant the Jew Iscariot. And he was the one that Jesus said was a devil. He said, one of you is a devil. And that was who he was referring to. He was referring to Judas Iscariot. Now, the Germans actually went and looked around Galilee, which is where the tribe of Benjamin were, and they looked at the skeletons. They did some digging around there, and they said that what they found, all the remains they found there, were Aryan. They were Aryan remains. The tribe of Benjamin were Aryan. So that's another proof that they were white. We have, as I say, we have the genealogies, which are only there to show that these people were white. We have the descriptions in the Old Testament, and there are many, many, many descriptions of the Israelites in the Old Testament. They talk of them being rosy-cheeked. They talk of them being able to blush. They talk of them being fair, having fair skin, fair hair. They talk of them having blue eyes. There are descriptions outside of the Old Testament in the Apocrypha that talk about Noah having hair like the sun or a face like the sky, which is basically saying that he had blue eyes, and talks of him having white hair like a sheep, blonde hair. There are all these descriptions of them which show that they were quite clearly white. Then what happened was the true descendants of Judah and the descendants of Benjamin, obviously they followed Christ. They had been waiting for Christ since he had been prophesied. And obviously the Edomites and the Jews that were following this syncretistic, I guess you could say, that this mixed Jewish religion, obviously they weren't a part of it. They didn't want to be a part of it, and they were not invited to be a part of it because they were not the descendants of Jacob Israel. So they then persecuted the Christians, and the Christians fled from Jerusalem because they had a warning, they had a prophecy that was saying when such and such happens, you need to leave Jerusalem because it's going to be destroyed. So the Christians left Jerusalem. Where did they go? Well, because they were being persecuted throughout the Roman Empire, on the say-so of these Jews, they went outside the Roman Empire. Where was outside the Roman Empire? Britain was outside the Roman Empire, and Britain was run by the Druids. So this is why we have very, very early references to the Britons becoming Christian. Is it goes back to this time, to this persecution of the original Christians. And they were white. They weren't like today's Jews. If we go back to what happened in Jerusalem at the time, we had essentially a Bolshevik revolution that took place in Jerusalem. The Jews that were left there, who were a lot of really cutthroat vagabond types that had all flocked there from the countries around for a rebellion and a revolution against the Romans. All these mixed race types, the Sicarii, who are known for stabbing people, really vicious types. They all moved to Jerusalem and decided that they were going to try and overthrow the Romans, and they were going to have a revolution, which, of course, the Romans said they were going to put down. And the Romans laid Jerusalem to siege, and they actually talk about cutting down every tree that there was in Judea to make their siege engines against the city of Jerusalem. And this is the reason why Palestine, Israel, or Judea, whatever you want to call it, this is why it is now a desert, because up until that point it was lush and it was fertile, and it was they were a farming people. The Israelites were an agrarian farming culture. That's what they did. They had sheep and cows and crops. Of course, you can't really do that there now. And the reason you can't do that there now is because the Romans cut all the trees down. Now, we're told in Flavius Josephus that the Jews had no respect for the architecture. They had no respect for the temple. They had no respect for the history of the city. And the Judahites that were actually left there, they tortured them. They abused them. They abused them in horrible ways. And they starved them. And it actually got to a situation where the inhabitants of Jerusalem were actually having to eat their own children. And the Romans were laying siege to the place, and they were thinking, well, these guys are crazy. Why don't they just give up? But they refused to give up. They thought that God was going to come in and help them at any minute now. But of course, why would God help them? They had gone completely against his teachings. They were not the descendants of the people that God had made his promises to. And eventually the Romans managed to break their way into the city, and there was a lot of fighting, and the Jews actually set fire to the temple. The Jews poured oil all over the temple, and they actually set fire to it. And they didn't care. They couldn't care less that they were destroying the city. But the Romans themselves, the Romans had tears in their eyes at the destruction of this architectural marvel that had been there for centuries. You think about it. You know, Jerusalem was a very, very old city, and the Romans had respect for this. And the reason why the Romans had respect for it is because it was partially theirs. It was partially their blood. It was built by white people. But the people that had destroyed it, the people that set fire to the place, these were these cutthroat, mixed-race Canaanite types who came from the area that is now known as Arabia. When you think about the word Arab itself, that actually comes from an old Hebrew word, which is Ereb, and it means to be mixed race. So Arabs have always been mixed race, and the Canaanites, the Edomites, they have always been mixed race. I mean, why would you define a group of people as being mixed race if you were also of mixed race? You just wouldn't do that. The Israelites were quite clearly white, and it's provable on so many different points. And this idea that Don Lemon has, that Jesus must have been brown because there are brown people living there now, just shows you that the man has no common sense whatsoever. I mean, he can see that there are movements of people all around the world. There are migrations of different peoples to different places. And yet he seems to think that the peoples were all static 2,000 years ago. And the whole of the Near East was started by white people. All the civilizations there were started by whites. There may not be the white people there now, and that is because the white people that built the civilizations, they interbred with the non-whites that were there. And once they did that, they lost the ability to maintain the civilization, and the civilization fell into ruins. Now, a lot of nationalists understand this, and they understand it, and they will say, well, yes, that happened in Egypt. Yes, that happened in India. Yes, that happened in Persia. Yes, that happened in Babylon. And then they'll pretend that it didn't happen in Judea. And they'll pretend that Judea is the odd one out, and Judea always was non-white. And that's just impossible, because Judea was the center of all the trade routes. It was the center of the world. That would have been the most important place for the most important white people to be, because it was the center of trade. And it was part of the Roman world. And obviously the Roman world, the Roman Empire, that was white. It was part of the Greek world, the Greek Empire, that was white. Alexander's empire, that was all administrated by white people. And I just think it is important that we understand this, because once you do understand that, then you understand that Christianity was a great strength for our people, and it reflects our people's values. It does not reflect anybody else's values. The problem that we have with Christianity today is that the people that teach it, the establishment churches that teach it, they don't actually teach Christianity. And it's very simple to see that. All you have to do is actually read the Bible to see that, to see that they're actually teaching the opposite today. Well, I hope I've managed to conclusively prove that Jesus was white. And I also hope that people have a better understanding of why Europeans became Christian after hearing what I've just been talking about today. Well, thank you very much for listening. Anyway, I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.